you just tuned into the hippest way to start and grow your indie author career. Learn the ins, the outs, and all the all-arounds of self-publishing with the team from D2D and their industry-influencing guests. You're listening to Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital.
Hello, and welcome to Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital. Today, the day that we are broadcasting this live is September 29th, 2022. My name is Mark Leslie Lefebvre, and I am the Director of Business Development with Draft to Digital. And if you're a longtime listener or watcher of this program, you may remember Jim Azevedo from a previous episode. But Jim, let's make sure for anyone who doesn't know who you are, your title, what do you do at Draft to Digital?
I'm the corporate communications manager at Draft to Digital.
Okay, cool.
Having come via the Smashwords acquisition.
And you've been at Smashwords almost from the very beginning, right? So like that is like well over a decade?
Yeah, well, not well over, but almost. Just past a decade. So since 2011, so 11 years.
11 years doing right. And so you performed a role very similar to, you know, you would go and talk to authors. I think we met the first time in the... Oh my God, 2013.
I think it was 2013 down in the dungeon of the Javits Center in New York.
Yeah. So you were at the Smashwords table. I was at the Kobo table back then. So that was back in ancient history in New York.
And I think the DDD guys were there as well.
And I'm pretty sure that's when I must have met Dan for the first time as well, way back when. So. Ancient days. But we just got back with several of our awesome colleagues. We just got back from and thoughts and prayers to all of our friends in Florida who we just left. I mean, because just where we were at the Trade Winds at Novelist Inc., they just got walloped yesterday. And I've heard from a few people who are safe. But we were there last week, right?
Right. And it was terrifying to see that cone of the hurricane's path approaching that area where we just were.
Yeah.
And knowing that we have so many friends back there still.
I know. So we're keeping an eye on their friends. We're sending them well wishes and hope everyone is doing okay. But last week at Novelist Inc., we reconnected, met as for the first time as colleagues
of the same company,
along with several other awesome Draft to Digital folks. But I think before we get into that, there were some trends, there were some things that we picked up from talking to the authors at Novelist Inc., right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so nice to go to a conference and be an attendee and just soak up all this information that's coming at you versus, you know, worrying about presentations and other things. But as anybody knows who's gone to lots of conferences, when you go to a conference and you're taking in all this information, you start to worry, like, what am I going to forget? But then over the next few days, the things that were really impactful or really important start to bubble up to the top of your brain. And one of the things that stands out to me, Mark, was how much talk there was about direct sales and how important it is to authors.
Yeah. No, that's definitely been a growing thing, which is why, I mean, that is an important development that we're going to be adding to Books to Read, the ability to add additional links and additional stores. Mm-hmm. I picked this up from our colleagues over at Kobo's nice little pocket notebook that I could just keep right here, nice and handy, so I could have my hands free to shake hands and have a coffee in one hand, because that's all I drank when I was there was coffee. But I have, I think, honestly, about 60 pages of notes from Novelist Inc., which is just amazing. And like you said, there's so much to digest, so much to digest. But also, I've been going through the stats, and I know that's potentially why some people are tuning in, is I've been going through the stats for Q1 and Q2 of 2022. So basically sales from January all the way to June. Did I do the math right? That's 6 months, right?
Yeah, something like that.
To the end of June. We do have some stats beyond that, but I just wanted to look at a snapshot, because what I was doing was looking at what were the sales. Now the systems, because our systems at Smashwords and Draft to Digital are not yet merged, I want to compare apples to apples. So if I go back and compare sales from last year to this year, obviously when you bring in the Smashwords sales, it's going to change them. It's like, wait, they're way up.
Right. Hey, what's going on?
So I was trying to compare apples to apples. So I was looking only at the Draft to Digital sales.
Okay.
So I can have that ring fence of, you know, Q1 and Q2 of this year compared to last year, compared to the year before. Mm-hmm. But Jim, do you remember something odd happening in Q of 2020, the first quarter of 2020? Anything strange happen in the world?
I think there was this virus, I think that.
Yeah. And it was a computer virus that spread and people clicked on it, right?
human virus this time, but the world started to shut down as the apocalypse started taking over.
Oh my God, yeah. So we saw across the board, we saw digital book sales see the most ridiculous growth since.
Absolutely, what people positively. Often call
the Kindle cold rush days, right? 2009 to 2014 was,
right,
you know, triple digit growth for ebooks. But back then the numbers were small, so triple digit was. but then the first time since then, in March of 2020, our growth was ridiculously high. It was back to triple digits on big numbers.
Yep.
So
because everything was shut down, you couldn't go out to stores, and people, I think, started either discovering the joys of digital downloads the first time, or started rediscovering the convenience and the flexibility of just sitting, you know, on their couch in their pajamas, browsing for a book and downloading that next book in a couple of minutes.
Exactly. I remember the fear of getting a physical book from the library or the bookstore, and maybe it would have something attached to it that would make us sick, right? You remember bleaching things when you brought them into the house? Yeah, exactly. Put them in a staging area so that it could sit there for 2 days.
Right.
But I remember picking up my phone, and I had the Libby app, and Libby is how you would get access to Overdrive. So we distribute to Overdrive, which goes to the libraries. And so you connect your library card, and I could get ebooks instantly. And we saw huge library growth sales. Again, that was unprecedented library sales growth. So I'm saying this to set the stage, because we're in an environment right now, September of 2022, 2 years plus, almost 2.5 years since the world changed dramatically. And we're looking at sales. It's challenging when you see the significant growth between 2019 and 2020. When you compare, and 2021 was also a year of growth, right? Not quite as dramatic as 2020, but there were lockdowns. People were stuck inside reading. Sure. Hey, what am I going to do by myself? Well, I'm going to read, right? I'm going to stream things.
Exactly.
I'm going to do TikToks. So I'm going to read. So what we did see that growth. So what we're seeing is, and I'm going to share some data that's going to show that year over year, when we actually look at Q1 and Q2 from last year to this year, actually seeing a slight decrease. Mm-hmm. But that is compared to 2022. So what I did is I went back to normal times, like we're getting back to
normal.
Because here's something that happened this year. Is this year, roughly around the same time, between the beginning of March, maybe the middle of March and April, we saw something else happened. We saw isolation, lockdown, crossing the border, you know, between the US and Canada and other countries. The restrictions were suddenly being thrown out. So no more were people stuck at home having, you know, hey, reading is a great option. Suddenly, everyone was pent up with 2 years of I'm going to run around, you know, free willy and have a really good time, go lick everyone's faces, all the things that we wanted to do, buy books. So Q1 started off really strong, and I'm going to share some of the numbers. But then towards the end of Q1 and in beginning of Q2, we were having what, you know, we call the pandemic relapse. We were having that rebound effect of, okay, I can go do other things now. I can go actually sit in a restaurant. I can go hang out with friends like we did at the Tiki
Get
bar.
On an airplane.
Yeah. Instead of purchasing books. So we did see, and this is not just in indie author sales, this is across the board. We saw a drop in sales compared to that. So that's why I'm going to take a look at Q1 and Q2 of 2019 compared to now. So we can kind of feel, okay, now that we've stabilized after this giant spike, where are we? And just so you know, we still are way ahead of where we were in 2019. But when we compare it just to those periods, you're going to see some dips.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
is that like a new normal, Mark, would you say? So like the numbers from the pandemic, we all were isolated. digital books started to take off, kind of went like this. Then we started hitting, you know, a bit of a plateau. We started coming out of isolation.
Right.
So is this a new normal that we've reached that's still a bit higher?
Yeah, the plateau is higher. Now, compared to, you know, Q1 and Q2 last year, they're down compared to last year, but they're still up in general. So you're still up at a much higher rate. Because the other thing you got to remember is there are people who, let's be honest, and we look at industry stats, and I know it's hard for indie authors to believe this. They probably like scoff at it and go, that can't possibly be true. But this is why we believe that, you know, large traditional publishers, we believe they don't, you know, that they don't know what's going on. They're not even looking at ebook sales, because ebook sales are roughly 20% of what they make. And in general, most people still have never read an ebook, right? Even though we had this great opportunity in 2020, March 2020 was a great opportunity to discover the magic of ebooks. And still, even though it was triple digit growth, I bet you if you ask the average person who's not part of the author community, obviously authors know about ebooks, but if you ask the average reader, they're probably gravitating towards print. And I'm going to share some stats from traditional publishing so we can kind of set the stage. You ready to hear some
I'm
of
ready.
That? All right. I only have about 8 pages of notes here. So, and I do have visuals. I have some slides. So it's not just going to be looking at me reading off a page. So again, we've had the opening up lockdown stuff. So BookNet Canada. So I'm in Canada. I'm the token Canadian on the Drafts Digital team. BookNet Canada is kind of like a Nielsen book scan made up of just book nerds who love data analytics. So think about people like Dave Chesson and Alex Newton. People like that all work there, and they're big giant book nerds, right? and BookNet Canada collects data, sales data from independent bookstores, chain bookstores, Walmart, Target. There is no more Target here, but the Costco, all the major book retailers in Canada. But it's only print book sales, because the only retailer that was willing to give them data was Kobo. None of the other ones wanted to, so they can't. They can't share the data because it's not meaningful if it doesn't come from at least 3 different sources.
Gotcha.
So, and just to reiterate, the data I'm sharing is going to be from sales reports from the Draft to Digital system, and that is going to include data that comes from pretty much every major retailer except Google Play. In terms of ebooks, it comes from our library and it comes from our subscription services. So it comes from the collection. So it's not just one source. It's a variety. And I'll share a little bit of that. So BookNet Canada, this is from a report that was published on September 23rd.
Okay.
So the first 6 months of 2022 were relatively stable. And sales were up 2% over the first 6 months of 2019. So again, they went back to 2019. So they're up 2% over 2019 because, again, the sales were down compared to last year. Because one of the things we saw both in the U.S. and Canada and probably in other countries were independent bookstore growth. And BookNet Canada talked about that one of the key trends that was fueling book sales was the opening of new independent stores across Canada and the U.S. And so that meant more stores entering the market. And what I found is people championed local bookstores.
That alone is so interesting, because when the pandemic first started, everyone thought, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to the indie bookstores?
Yeah. And you would think, you know, grocery stores, restaurants, people need to eat, stuff like that. I mean, people love to read, but people just got behind these small businesses. Absolutely. And imagine the growth of independent bookstores during the pandemic, like the worst time to start a business.
Yeah.
And yet people rallied behind them. They were doing curbside pickup. They were doing deliveries.
Home deliveries.
All kinds of great innovative things. I mean, yes, obviously Amazon sales went up because the everything store, you drop, you know, ships the next day.
Yeah.
But that was an amazing thing to see. So, now, the interesting stat from BookNet Canada is front list sales are lagging. Now, for our listeners, what is a front list title?
Oh, a front list title is a book that's released today or tomorrow.
So a new
best-selling author. Yeah.
Yeah, front list would be new books that are published, and backlist or anything. And usually in the industry, it's usually 6 months. So anything released 6 months ago within the last 6 months is considered front list.
Gotcha.
And then previous to that is backlist. So what BookNet Canada tracked is that frontlist sales were lagging. And it says BookNet data shows that starting in 2020, online book sales eclipsed sales in physical bookstores. And that was in Canada.
Okay.
And I know that that's been a trend in the U.S. So you're seeing some slightly varying. Now, that may just be because, let's be honest, the everything store in Canada is not nearly as efficient as it is in the U.S. So it's not as easy to get stuff. But online now accounts for 55% of overall book sales. And sales in physical stores represent 45%. Now, online sales favor backlist, says Noah Genner, who is the CEO of BookNet Canada. Says, which along with inflation may account for a slight drop in the market share of frontlist books, which fell to 24% in the first 6 months of the year, and they were 27% for the same period, 2021. And it reminds me of something I like to remind authors, is that a book you have not read before is a new book. Yeah. And backlist sales on online, especially when you have series, and we will be sharing some series data, that's a major thing. You put out a new frontlist book, and let's be honest. So I put out a new book in my series. Let's say it's book six in a series. And I sell that. Okay. I'm selling it. Maybe I'm not selling as many as I would have a year ago.
Yep.
But I have five other books that are backlist. And so when my frontlist sales are up slightly, my backlist sales grow dramatically.
Yeah.
And the more you keep adding, the more your backlist is going to grow. And that's what we have seen with, you know, authors you talk to at NINC, right? Like how many of them were writing in series?
Absolutely. And even for some of those best-selling authors, there are still, even if you're a bestseller, there are still millions and millions of readers who still have not yet discovered your book.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. And that's the beauty. And that's the beauty of this, especially since most people haven't read an ebook yet. So we got to convince them how to get on a little digital only diet of books. Just how can you get more of those ebooks into your diet? And so, right. So
we might have some tools to help them with that.
There you go. So Lou Aronica, who is a figure at NINC, a popular figure who always does a summary at the end. I know Dan and I stuck around the extra day so we could listen in and yep. participate and chat a little bit more and learn a little bit about the summary and just get some updates from he. Lou comes, he's a publisher. He's a small publisher, very adept, dynamic publisher, comes from decades of traditional publishing experience, but he also is one of those rare people in traditional publishing who really gets and understands indie.
Yeah.
So he doesn't poo-poo, like, you know, often indies will poo-poo traditional publishers and traditional publishers will poo-poo indie authors. He gets both sides. Okay. So I really love his opinion. So he was doing a bit of a talk and he said, so the APP, the American Publishers Association of American Publishers, I'm forgetting what the second P stands for. What is it?
Isn't it the AAP?
AAP. Sorry, I wrote it down wrong. The AAP, the American Association. Throw
me these curveballs, Mark.
Something like that. All of these. What does D2D stand for?
Goodness.
It shows a 0.08% decrease in units over last year. So, and again, most of these sales are print.
Okay.
Right. So they're focused. That's where traditional publishers live. But one of the things he pointed out that I made a note of is that based on, and I'm not an economist and neither are you and neither is Lou, but based on all signs and all of the things we're hearing from the experts is that we're probably close to experiencing the very first meaningful recession that we've had since the streaming era began. And here's why this is important. Historically, when you look back at history of book sales, books are one of the only products that are recession proof. But this is the first time we're going to be going into a recession, most likely, where we have streaming. And what is a competition for reading? Right?
Right.
So,
exactly.
Or as we saw, streaming led to book sales. Queen's Gambit is a perfect example. A book published in the 70s and 80s suddenly became a bestseller because of streaming. Kate Bush running up that hill, how many decades later, became a number one bestseller. Right. Again, smart note to indies. She kept her rights. So she was able to make that money.
Take heed.
So that's an interesting thing to think about. So, but one of the things Lou reminded us of is that people who love books don't just like books. They don't just love books. They love books. And that's like giant capital letters, exclamation point out the wazoo. They define themselves as book people, as book lovers. And they may even double down.
It goes beyond a want or a desire. It becomes a need. Like I have
it to. It is. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I have that sickness. I love it.
It's part of who you are.
is it I'm going to buy something to eat, or I'm just going to, you know, nourish myself with this great book that I just bought?
Right.
I nourish myself with books more often than not. Yep. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I suspect that, and I'm just saying that because when we're looking at the trends, typically September through December is the strongest for book sales. When in traditional book selling, you know, having managed bookstores, we would operate in the red. We would lose money. We'd be spending more in rent and employees and all the utilities than we would make. And we would make all of our money for the year between September and December. Right. Wow. So that's kind of a pattern that you see in, online sales and in ebook sales, as you do see the trend of sales going up. So we're likely to see, to see those sales go up. However, as we're going into potential recession and interest rates and things like that are going up, that could have an impact. But I'm still very optimistic that we're going to see those sales increase based on 30 years in the industry. So,
totally agree. Could not agree more.
So that's kind of an interesting thing. And again, Lou reminds us that traditional publishers only make about 20% of the revenue from ebook sales. So here's the thing that I think about as an indie author. When you think that, and we had some dramatic, right? I've always said, you know, talking to people about ebooks is an ebook does not have to be 300 pages bound between two pieces of cloth.
Right.
Ebooks can be so much more. They can be shorter or smaller. They can be whatever. They're way dynamic. Every ebook is a large print book. And all the things that a lot of indie authors know already, traditional publishers ignored because they were busy shipping dead trees around and storing them in warehouses, right? In March of 2020, was the opportunity for them to actually open their eyes to the possibilities if they stopped thinking that ebooks were going to cannibalize print sales.
Yes.
And my fear as an indie author is if they ever actually, and they didn't get their act together, they didn't get their smarts together then, but they're going to one day figure this out, especially as we are seeing print, the price of print increasing, the cost of paper. Shortages are very, they're still a major issue. Shortages for print supply. Publishers may one day have no choice but to get with the ebook program. And that means us indie authors need to be that much more adept because we've kind of had the playing field to ourselves, right?
Yeah. And, you know, take notice, indie authors, as you listen to what Mark's saying here, like you have this huge competitive advantage, especially in terms of your pricing, because the largest traditional publishers in the world cannot compete with you on the price of your ebooks. You have so much more flexibility than they ever will have.
Exactly. So I want to make sure that indie authors are positioning themselves to be able to compete. And that's, I think, where potentially direct sales is a great opportunity. There's other options to earn more margin. They can still compete on price, but also maybe not necessarily so low. And I'm going to share some of that with some of the stats. So are you ready, Jim, to hear some of the, oh, hang on. I got to pop up the banner. This is exciting. There we go. We're going to go into 2022 Q1 and Q2 industry insights.
I feel like need a little button for some kind of a sound wave or something.
Yeah.
Like,
and I do have some, actually, you know, before I get into our draft to digital stats, I think maybe one of the things I forgot to mention is when we were at Novelist Inc. last week, did you sit in on the session that Will Degas from Find a Way Voices
missed that one? No.
So just a reminder that Find a Way Voices is a partner of ours. We distribute ebooks, we distribute print books, and we have a great partner for audiobooks. And that partner is Find a Way Voices. And you can click your button over, you know, when in your ebook, for example, to say make an audiobook. And what we'll do is we will port you into Find a Way system, set up your book to save you having to rekey in that information. And they have ways you can either upload your audio files or there's multiple ways to get access to narrators if you're looking for audiobooks. So I wanted to share this because a lot of authors are thinking about audiobooks. So here's some of the stats from Find a Way Voices, that courtesy of Find a Way Voices. And again, I'll pop up. Where's my little courtesy of Find a Way Voices banner right there? Courtesy of Find a Way Voices. And this is just sort of a look at the industry from, this is just a high level summary from Will's really amazing presentation. He was very nice to allow me to share this here. So I'll get rid of the banner because I don't think you can see the full slide. But this is kind of what's happened with audio. So this is audiobook sales from our partner, Findaway Voices. And they distribute to 53-plus library and retail platforms.
Is this global, Mark?
And this is global. This is global. This is all the places, right? Okay. So the library sales, 26.59%. And this is without promotions. Wow. This is just generic sales. Mm-hmm. Retail subscription. So subscription meaning, you know, platforms where like Audible, Kobo has a subscription program. I think Barnes & Noble launched one this year. Okay. So without retail subscription is about 37%. And a la carte. So a la carte is you don't pay a monthly fee to get like a credit, but you just buy the audiobook. And isn't it interesting that a la carte sales are almost equal, like 36.65% as opposed to 36.7%.
It really is.
7%. Yeah. So it's almost, I mean, not quite a third, a third, a third, but look at the library growth has been dramatic for them because the library was not that high that long ago. So you're seeing it starting to be like a almost coming to like thirds, right? For all three platforms, meaning it's smart for authors to be in as many platforms as possible. Subscription services, a la carte services, library. And I say that because Spotify just opened up. Spotify now owns Findaway.
Yep.
And they opened up with a la carte. And a la carte with a discount that's the, you know, one of the most generous. It's on par with what you get from BNN and stuff like that. So it's a decent, I think it's a 50% when you look at the contracts there.
This speaks to the advice we constantly give our authors, which is, you know, put your books in all the places where readers go to find books.
Exactly.
Not just one or two places, all the places.
All the places. Why not? You never know. Especially you want to be there to ride the wave, right? When it grows.
Yep.
and then with promotion. So this is with Findaway, you can set price. You can control your price at most of the places except Audible. And you can do price promos on various retailers. So with promotions, you see that the retail a la carte jumps dramatically, almost to 50%, because that's obviously where the price promo happens. Whoa. Because libraries, it doesn't really change that much for them. And subscription, you're going to just go through the program as normal. So they kind of stay relatively the same. But with promotion, you see the retail a la carte jumps up, which is kind of interesting to see. The other thing that I think is important when you compare, and this is another slide from Will's deck, the average promo pricing and discount. So this is just a look at, you know, if your retail price is between $0 and $2.50 US, you know, with the average discount, this you're just kind of seeing what those numbers are in terms of the promo price, the average discount. So obviously, if your retail price is, you know, like $2.50, the promo price on average is going to be 67 cents. And so this is kind of like with audiobooks, the price is going to be dramatically higher anyways.
Right.
So obviously these are just some of the different discounts, but this is the most interesting stat that we found was this is the pricing based on the length, right? So short stories and novellas and stuff like that into zero to 3 hours. And 10,000 words of text is roughly an hour of audio. And so you're looking at this is the average pricing based on length. And this is across both. And the thing I love about Findaway is they're not just sharing independent authors' data, because Findaway, the mother company of Findaway Voices, also, as you hear the storm of the dogs running out the door right now, because someone just came on. So what you're actually seeing is Findaway sharing data based not just on indie author titles, but titles from major publishers that they distribute for as well. So we're actually getting a wonderful mix. Like when I share the data later from draft to digital, it's pretty much indie author titles we're sharing. This is including the big publishers as
this
well.
This is super interesting. If you think about all the work that goes into an audiobook.
Yeah, all that work. And so you got to sell a lot, right?
Yeah.
Make your money back. So that was the stuff from Findaway Voices. Now you ready to dig into our stats, our sales?
Yes.
Okay. Let's dig in here. Okay. So, so again, 2020 was dramatically higher than 2019.
Yep.
2021 was also a very healthy growth over 2020. And we thought, okay, this can't sustain. We can't keep growing like this.
Can't keep growing by double, triple percentage points forever.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. So we figured it's going to have to come back to normal, which we talked about. So, so unit sales, were down about 1%. year over year. No, actually, sorry. This is unit sales in Q2 versus Q1 of this year. So the last, the second batch of 3 months compared to the first 3 months, we're down 1%.
And this is just ebooks we're talking about, Mark?
this is our ebook sales over through Draft to Digital. We're down about 1%. So again, we started off doing okay. And then as the world opened up and people stopped buying books as much, they've gone down 1%. Right. But interesting, like 1% still puts us way ahead. Right. Now, revenue was down about 4.82% again between Q1 and Q2. So again, we're seeing that dip. We're mm-hmm. hoping to see that come back up for Q3, Q4 of this mm-hmm. year. But this is the interesting thing, which is why I wanted to set the stage about that growth in 2020. So if when I'm looking at 2019, compared to 2019, mm-hmm. our units have grown by 3.98%. So we're still ahead, right? Which is really, really good. And revenue, this is a cool thing. So that's about 4%, right? Mm-hmm. Revenue has grown by 9.9%. So let's round these up. Units have grown by 4%. Revenue has grown by 10%. What does that mean? It means authors are pricing higher. Authors are getting more money for the products. So they're selling more units, right? They're selling 4% more units than before, but they're earning 10%. Wow. So this is exciting. What we have seen a little bit more of is there's the authors who are doing box sets, and they know that when they publish their box sets that go north of $9.99 mm-hmm. everywhere but Amazon, they can make that full 60% that they would get through Draft to Digital. And that's on all of our major retail platforms. So that's an exciting thing. More margin in your pocket, dear author. That's something I get excited about.
Right.
The next stat is, and this is interesting. So when we look across the board, across all of the different channels, mm-hmm. we're, with the exception of some growth that we're continuing to see in libraries, which is very, very minimal growth this year, overall, we're seeing a drop.
Okay.
Right. And at a lot of the places, right. and a drop of just a few percentage points, right? Very similar to that 1% that we saw across the board. But do you know, Jim? Do you know where the only place that we saw a growth, and we saw a growth of, get this, 4.2%. And this is January to August of 2022 this year compared to January of August 2021. Any ideas where we saw that growth? Almost like, you know, 4.26% growth.
Let me take a stab. Would it be print?
No, my friend. It's an ebook. It's an ebook platform. It's a retail ebook platform. It is. Let me give you a hint. It is the world's largest repository of indie author books out there.
Let me see. Could it be Smashwords?
My God! Ding, 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 ding. He wins the prize. Yes, Smashwords. And here's the thing I love about this. Smashwords. How much do authors earn when they sell through Smashwords?
80% of lists.
80%. 20% more. They make 80%. Of list. Jim, we have plans. We have plans. That'll be coming up in a future D2D Live, but we do have some merchandising plans. Megan will be involved heavily in getting more merchandising space for authors. So think about that. More margin for authors on one of the only retail platforms that saw significant growth compared to a drop, which is really, really, really hanging. So there you go.
Did you know that Smashwords is on its sixth consecutive year of growth year over year?
This is sixth consecutive year of growth year over year. And so Smashwords is seeing growth even after we've set the stage that 2020 was a ridiculous year. And
bucking, it's bucking an overall industry trend.
And we haven't even put the Draft to Digital titles in there yet.
I know.
Like, oh, my goodness. My goodness me. This is going to be so exciting. So
can you see why we're so excited? We're like,
priming the pumps. Now, I'm sticking on ebooks here. I'm sticking on ebooks. Now, it should be no surprise to anyone who's been paying attention to the book world since the inception of reading. But romance is the worst selling category. No, romance is by far, it's actually almost unfair to include romance because it takes such a big piece of the pie. But romance sales accounted for the majority of our sales. Again, mm-hmm. 55% of units, And 55.06% of revenue. Now, the thing about romance is you know that the voracious readers are reading like 3 books a day and stuff right. like that. Right. So you've got to keep your prices low so you can just keep feeding those awesome, yeah. awesome. We love our romance readers. We love our romance authors. We love them both. Yeah. We love putting them together. So that's more than half the pie, right, is going to romance. So I don't write romance, so I don't want to be depressed. So I wanted to look at, so, okay, we know romance is number one. What are the other categories? And I have another visual. Isn't that exciting?
Fantastic. Bring it up.
Yeah, let's bring up the visual. So romance, obviously, number one. But then the next highest categories are actually mystery and detective.
Oh, mystery and detective.
Yeah. And fantasy. And so these are sort of like the subcategories. So fantasy. And again, when I have fantasy, like it's the high level, just like romance is all the categories, and I'll dig into romance yep. in a little bit for romance authors to see what those subcategories are. Then women's fiction, right? Number five. That's kind of cool. Science fiction, action and adventure. So you're getting yep. a lot of the genres up top, right? Yep. And then business and economics.
Start dipping into the nonfiction titles there.
Yeah, nonfiction, which is great news for authors who write nonfiction. Then you're getting to thriller. So thriller is different than mystery and detective, right? Mm-hmm. Those are domestic thrillers, etc. And then crime. So crime is a category that's more like a police procedural. a lot of what you would might call a thriller in the U.S. People might call crime thrillers in the U.K.
Gotcha.
Then YA, obviously, because YA has a great crossover. Then you get into, so this is interesting, Christian fiction. Mm-hmm. Self-help, body, mind, and spirit, health and fitness. So I was shocked to see cooking so high on the list, because
I know
you would think that you'd want that as a physical book, but no, I guess people are putting them on their ebook readers and just hanging out in the kitchen and doing more cooking. Then fairy tales, folk tales, legends and mythology, and LGBTQ. Well, it's called LGBT in the BISAC standard, but yeah. it's that category. It goes on off the screen, family and relationships, then fiction, family life, fiction, historical. I mean, it just goes on and on and mm-hmm. on. There's 3,600 categories, but those are the top ones that we saw. So that's kind of hopefully giving some hope.
Love it.
Do you want to see some of the breakdown? Like, let's dig into romance a little bit more.
Of course I do.
Dig into romance. All right. This one's a little prettier. This is unit sales. So amongst the romance, within romance, contemporary romance represents about 35% of romance. And then, I mean, there's about 46 or 47 subcategories of romance.
There's a ton.
So the rest, I just lumped them into the rest because they're all like roughly 1% or less, but there's so many of them that it adds up to 16. So that's where you're seeing that. But then, so within, you've got contemporary is huge. You've got suspense. You've got new adult, which is continuing to grow.
Yep.
You've got action and adventure, paranormal shifters, billionaires still doing really, really well. Clean and wholesome, still growing. Anthologies. And so anthologies and collections would be when authors get together, you know, hey, you buy book one of this series, book one of that series, get them all together where authors are collaborating. And again, we have that great payment splitting that you can use at Draft to Digital.
Absolutely.
And so you'll even notice, like, so you've got paranormal shifters is 4.31%, but paranormal general is 2.49%. So, I mean, really paranormal at the higher level would be, I can't do the math in my head, but that's going to be a bigger number, right? It's going to be 4, 5, 6, 7 odd percent, which would actually put it close to suspense, like romantic suspense. Just quickly, unless is there anything else that's jumping out at you here?
Well, one thing that's kind of jumping out at me is, you know, I hear authors saying, well, where should I write? Like, what market should I write to? I love romance. That's what I know. Maybe I should write toward contemporary because that's where it seems like the audience is. That's where the market right. is. But it looks to me, if you look at these numbers, that maybe the opportunity is not so much where everybody is, but maybe into some of these other more niche categories
yeah.
where that's growing. So you don't have to compete with thousands yeah. and thousands of other authors, the playing field is a little bit more level for you. There's more of an opportunity.
No, I mean, that makes sense. What do you completely. Think? Yeah, no. Yeah, because yeah, you're like, oh, I'm looking for military romance. There I am. And we were right. You were hanging out with ML Buckman there, right? At Nink. No.
For a little bit, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, Matt writes
so many people
military romance, and I know Matt's making a pretty penny. So here's the thing: it may look like 2.5%, and LGBT may look like 2.14%, but that is a big number because you got to remember that romance is still half of our sales. Right. So even if it says billionaires is only 3.59%, that 3.59% of 55% of our sales is a way bigger number than some of the other categories.
That's a whopping number.
Yeah. I'm going to flip it over to revenue. So this is unit sales, and revenue is going to be pretty close, right? But you're seeing a little bit higher revenue in contemporary, for example. The rest goes down a little. Suspense goes up a little. So it's very, very similar. You're seeing a very similar pattern, but it's just to show that the prices are pretty close in terms of the volume. So that was an interesting thing that I wanted to share. Other stats. So let's go back into the high-level stats that I think are pretty pretty compelling, pretty exciting. So series units. You know, Jim, I've been in the industry for a long time, and for, you know, 10 years, I've been telling authors, write in a series. I only started to follow my own advice in 2020. Ironically, I was somewhat knew what I was talking about. So for this quarter, for the first half of 2022, series units represented 75.48% of unit sales draft to digital.
Wow.
And 75.94% of revenue. So I'm guessing series works because if somebody finds something they like, they want more of it.
Yeah.
And well, let's go back to romance for 1 second. Why do you think people like romance? Why do you think people need romance? Why do you think they love romance in their lives?
So many reasons, but everybody loves a happy ending.
Happy ending. Oh God, have we ever needed happy endings in the last 2 years, right? So think about it. It's like, okay, everything's scary. I don't know what's going on. I can open up a book and know that they will get together at the end and we'll be in love at the end. So
that's
the other thing that happens with series books is I'm going to go hang out with people I know, people I like. And sometimes in series, it's not the same people. It's a world, right? Just think of romance series is, okay, this book is focused on this couple. And then book two is focused on couple B. And couple A has a cameos or walk-on roles. So you know it's the same town. I think of Gansett Island from Marie Forrest, for example. It's all set on the same island and there's different couples. But you get to see the happy endings and you get to return to the people you love. You get to return to Virgin River, for example.
Right. So these readers are not just investing in the book. They're investing into those characters, into those stories, into those worlds that the authors have built. I mean, they're invested into this.
And I think from the author's point of view, the authors worked really, really hard at developing real characters with heart and passion and soul and settings. Yep. And they can re-leverage that IP. Yep. So you go, well, that cousin I introduced in book one, I'm gonna talk about their love story now.
The one with the dog.
Their murder mystery or their thriller adventure or whatever it is. Their romantic, comedy adventure. Mm-hmm. So series is really, really cool. Subscription units in this year, the first half of this year, compared to 2019. I went all the way back to 2019 because it's just been consistent, slow growth. But sometimes, you know how you have a friend of the family, they have a child and you haven't seen them in 5 years. And suddenly they go, oh my goodness, you've grown.
Right? How did that happen?
And the parents goes, what? Because they're seeing millimeters every day or whatever, every week.
Yep.
So when you look at subscription units, the lucky number, 6.66% of subscription units for overall, 4.24% of revenue. But back in 2019, subscription units were under 3%. It was 2.62% and 2.4% for revenue. So, we have seen subscription growth from two of the specific platforms I can think of would be Scribd.
Yep.
And Kobo Plus, as they have dramatically expanded. And one only has to wonder if a company has dramatically expanded into what are they in 9 different countries for Kobo Plus?
I thought
because it's not working.
Yeah. and Scribd is a fun subscription service to play with.
Yeah.
They're very good about, putting new titles in front of you. We saw that you read this.
Changing this it out. Up. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But I'm thinking, and I know from, I was talking to the folks at Kobo at Novelist Inc. last week, and they were noticing that it's not cannibalizing their sales so much as it's new customers who've never read an ebook, but are used to subscription services. Yeah. They're used to whatever, like Netflix or whatever, they pay a fee and they can, it's all you can read. And so they've seen a new customer come on board that says, oh, I can pay a monthly fee and I can read all these great books. So
yeah, they're getting used to it because subscriptions go across so many different industries. It's not just
exactly
streaming and books.
Library sales are up 9.82% of units. And I realized, oh my God, I was going on and on and on. I forgot to share one of the most dramatic and exciting things. Are you ready for it?
I'm so ready.
You mentioned print earlier, Jim.
I did. I was getting ahead of myself.
But this is so exciting. 20,000 units. Okay, so Draft to Digital has seen 220% growth and this year between January and August over 2021. It's more than three times the growth. But here's the interesting thing. We only have 20,000 titles in print. Only 2% of our authors have print books. Only 2%. And so can you imagine how much more that's going to grow when we actually, 2%, that's teeny, teeny, tiny.
When we actually come out of beta?
Yeah. So we're still in beta, but it's still perfectly active and available. But right now, authors outside of North America can get author copies. So if you live in the UK, you live in Australia, you live in Europe, you're getting copies not printed in the US and shipped, you know, on a slow boat across the ocean. They're actually going to be print locally. So the cost savings is there. And if you're not in the Draft to Digital beta, you can go click on one of your books, click on the beta tab and say, please accept the beta. You'll probably be in the beta within a week or go to draftdigital.com/print beta or just email us support at draft to digital. That is really exciting. We are going to close this episode with a wonderful video from our good colleague Kevin with the smooth voice.
Kevin's very white-ish voice.
But Jim, I want to say thank you for joining me in this medley of data that, you know, I haven't even gotten to the top. It's like 45 minutes in and I haven't even gotten through the top of it.
Oh my gosh. But, well, I loved it. I loved being here. And don't worry, everybody. Kevin will be back. He's taking a vacation.
Yeah. So be sure to bookmark d2dlive.com so you don't miss these weekly Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern episodes. You can also, if you are interested, you can follow along over at the blog where we will have some notes compiled from this, you know, posted to our blog so we can have some of those stats and pretty pictures that you saw. And again, thanks so much for joining. And Jim, thank you for hanging out with me here today.
It's been my pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And now over to our good friend, Kevin.
Ebooks are great, but there's just something about having your words in print. Something you can hold in your hands, put on a shelf, sign for a reader. That's why we created D2D Print, a print-on-demand service that was built for you. We have free, beautiful templates to give your book a pro look, and we can even convert your ebook cover into a full wraparound cover for print. So many options for you and your books. And you can get started right now when you sign up at drafttodigital.com/print beta.
That's it for this week's Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with your will-be author friends. And start, build, and grow your own self-publishing career right now at drafttodigital.com.